Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 John as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Why did I talk about that enmity that we have with the world? Because it's been there since the beginning of time. All these tales of good versus evil and the struggles of light versus dark that you see in all kinds of works and all kinds of mediums throughout history, right back here to the beginning of time, we find that chasm that was created between Cain and Abel, that relationship that was torn apart between those two brothers was done because one had their works that were evil and one had works that were righteous. And that still remains all throughout time to us today. If you abide in the righteous works that Christ has set us to walk in, those that are living in the evil works, there will always be that animosity, what's that word? That one between you two. You won't get along. But I want you to see here, it wasn't Abel that slew his brother Cain, because Abel's works were righteous and Cain's were evil. It was Cain that went after Abel because Cain was evil and Abel was righteous. And that's the way it is still to be today. We're not to be going after the world and beating them over the head and drilling them down because we're doing what God tells us to and you're not. No, we're to display that love of Christ that's been made known to us. And we're to expect the world to respond to us, if they're responding through that flesh, in a nasty manner, to be mean to us. He outlines it here from the beginning. You've been told, love one another. And well, here with Cain and Abel, his works were evil. And so he slew his brother whose works were righteous. This is a tale as old as time itself that we live in today. So don't be surprised when you experience trials and tribulations from the world, evils that are forces that are working against you to try and halt your spiritual progress in your life. It's been happening that way since the beginning of time. It's nothing new to us. Verse number 13, with that in mind, he says this, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." And I've got a list, it'd be a topic for another time, but of all the mentions in Scripture where that word marvel comes into place, where either Jesus marveled at the woman's faith or when he tells us to marvel not. Another time he talks about marvel not in the book of Ecclesiastes. When he talks about you see the world and the way the evil men are behaving, when you see the disregard for rules and you see just riots and rampaging in the streets and you see a complete disregard for any justice of any kind, he says, marvel not. Don't be surprised. Here, he says, when the world hates you, marvel not. It's to be expected. Your duty is to walk with Christ. That's your responsibility. And the world will throw everything it can at you to try and hinder that progress that you're making, but we shouldn't be surprised when it happens. Even when they go to extremes, lengths, to try and destroy your testimony, your reputation, whatever it may be, it says don't be surprised. But I fear for most of us today, there aren't exaggerated and extreme lengths as we would see them that's been gone to uproot us in our walk with Christ and try to throw us off balance. Rather, it's been those little quiet things that have set in. And now we don't have to face the immediate persecution like those that came before us did. Instead, we have those quiet invaders in our homes and in our minds, where we develop that friendship with the world. Our day is not complete if we cannot indulge ourselves in some form or fashion in something that the world has to offer us. It seems that way, does it not? I'm being truthful with you here. Some of y'all are looking like this is the first time anyone has ever been honest with you. It's a real struggle. And that's why it's important to draw that line in the sand. I'm over here with the things of Christ and the things of the world, anything that hinders my relationship with Christ and anything that detracts from my walk and my spiritual growth, I'm putting it on that side, and it can stay over there. Because if I let it over here with me, or I wander over there to it, it's going to slowly but surely try and destroy me. We know in verse 14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We'll keep moving on here. When we get in those final two chapters, everything just comes together beautifully, beautifully. But there ought to be evidence that we've moved on from that old man. We've passed from that death into that new life in Christ. He says here we know that that's happened. We don't have to question it because we have that love for the brethren. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We know elsewhere in Scripture he says that these people won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. The murderers and the adulterers, the fornicators, all these things. This is the beauty of that eradication of that sin nature. When our salvation is made complete once and for all. When we get to see the work finished in us. That old sin nature will have no place in the coming kingdom. It'll have no place in the presence of God, and it will be done away with. So why waste our time on it? That's the thought here that I'm trying to get to you. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We perceive the love of God. Literally, we can understand it this way. That he laid down his life for us. All the things of the world he counted as loss. He didn't want anything to do with it. He lived that perfect sinless life and was the sacrifice for our sins. And look, neither you nor me are going to be able to live a perfect sinless life like Jesus did. But that's why he did it, because we couldn't. But we can follow through in those steps of laying down our lives for the brethren. What does that mean? And it don't mean that you've got to take the bullet for the person sitting next to you, anything like that. As a matter of fact, that's kind of a momentary decision. You can make that once and it's solidified, that choice is made. It's a lot harder to set aside your own personal fleshly desires in your life for the good of the brethren. To lay it aside and count all things as loss, as Christ did, as Paul did, and pursue the things of Christ. Why? Because all those, the things of the fleshly nature, they're not going to last anyway. God is still going to grant us the desires of our heart, the things that are in his perfect will for us. We can find happiness and peace and rejoicing. We can still enjoy life. We're not talking about having to be miserable all the time because you just can't have any fun and you can't enjoy anything. That's not what we're talking about at all. What we're talking about is understanding the importance of living and abiding in Christ. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He just comes right after about laying down your life. He says, when you have the things that your brother needs, and you close yourself off, the Bible says, how abideth the love of God in him? Why? Because how did we perceive that love? We read it there in verse 16, because he laid down his life for us. That's our understanding of that love. That is the standard that we ought to show one another. So to not even be willing to help out another, why is that? Well, I understand there can be other issues at play where sometimes you can help them right into a bigger problem. By enabling them, these other kinds of things, I get it, I understand it. But what I'm talking about here is you use that as an excuse because you literally don't want to let go of what you have. It's mine, it belongs to me, and I need to have it. If I give this away, either I won't be happy, or I won't be provided for, or I'm gonna have troubles. We won't believe that God will take care of us.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.